And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I'm sure you paid attention and listened to President Biden's speech the other night. What did you think?
Necessary. he decided, and I don't know who has chosen to use the term MAGA Republicans.
I think I read that they did focus groups polled on it.
I was thinking a focus group would be the only reason why they use that. I mean, because we see in ads like Josh Shapiro's that he talks about extremism, you know, mm-hmm. too extreme. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting that they used the MAGA Republican term rather than just extreme Republicans. But it's also interesting to listen to the Republicans cry and moan and claim to be victims and whatever. You know, Kevin McCarthy was in northeastern Pennsylvania the other day, well, the same day as the speech, and he gave what they call a prebuttal. And of course, as my wife would say, it was all projection. You know, the Democrats are being divisive and this or that. Never mind what the Republicans are saying. I mean, Lindsey Graham is there virtually saying, if you want a riot, we understand.
Right.
In those things. By the way, I saw where one of the insurrectionists got 10 years.
An ex-New York cop.
A New York cop. Yep. Who used one of the flagpoles to assault some of his fellow police officers in Washington.
Yeah. That was part of the respect for the police that this group has.
Yeah.
In fact, he told the judge at the sentencing that when he was involved in all of this, he really thought the tables had turned and he was the cop and the cop was the person who had to be suppressed.
Well, projection.
Yeah.
These folks are, you know, I don't even know what the term is, that they can do no wrong. Everything is all about them. And that's the serious thing. And that's why Biden, to get back to the speech, was out there saying these folks don't want to play by the rules of law. They don't want to accept the will of the majority. They just want to have their way, come hell or high water. And, you know, you talk about the will of the majority. We had that example this week when Roe v. Wade was overturned. The Republicans are saying, well, it doesn't change anything. It's now back to the states where it should be. You know, that's been the complaint for years and years and years. And, of course, in Michigan, then the Democrats had a petition. And they got hundreds of thousands of signatures.
700,000.
Yeah, and they asked the election board to put a petition on saying that people had a right to abortion. In other words, let the people decide. And the election board is 2-2. It's two Republicans and two Democrats. And the two Republicans blocked it. So they all wanted to go to the states, except when the states could do something that goes against what they want to have done. And then you don't let the states decide either. I mean, Michigan's got a bad situation there because it's, you know, it's only four people. And these are the people who have to certify the election. Remember last time they didn't want to, there was a question whether they would certify the results, but they had one Republican who changed his mind. Originally, he said no, and then he came back on that. You have to see. Oh, by the way, before I forget, you know, you talk about having a majority on the board rather than just an even number. I saw something this week, and it didn't make a lot of headlines, that Biden's picks for the Postal Service board finally got approved, which could mean that Louis DeJoy could be spending his last days
That would be very good for thousands of workers and also good for the Postal Service.
Good for the environment.
And very good for the environment, because they'll finally buy some electric trucks instead of more gas guzzlers.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we had that. But, you know, Scranton...
But I want to ask you a question about Biden's speech.
Yeah.
The point of his speech was, well, he had a number of points, but the big point is polarization is bad and we got to get back to what's normal. And he said that the MAGA Republicans, not all Republicans are MAGA Republicans. Now, I can see the point of making that point, because even though most Republicans are MAGA Republicans, they support the MAGA program, if you can peel off 10%, 15%, Republicans can't win. Mathematically impossible. They don't have enough votes. So I can see saying that. However, what's normal? Why does anybody want to lead people to think that the Republican Party is going to change and become, I don't know, some kind of a pro-democracy organization? What's going to make that happen?
Well, I have a little different thought about this, who this was aimed at. You know, yeah, you know, we've seen people leave the Republican Party. You know, in Pennsylvania this week, we had that seven more named Republicans, the most notable being Michael Chertoff, former federal judge, former Homeland Security head, endorsed Josh Shapiro, the Democrat for governor. But I think that most of his speech was aimed at those independents. And, you know, his favorability with independents hadn't been so great. But if he can get back with the independents and get a larger chunk of the independents, that could be sufficient. And I think that that's who he's aiming for, as much as if not more so than the few percent of Republicans he might be able to peel off. The Republicans, by and large, even those that don't like Trump, just don't want to go with Biden. You know, how many times do we see that?
They're not going to vote Democratic. I know that. They're not voting for the Democrats. It doesn't matter. But they might not vote.
Well, that would be an advantage. That would be almost as good.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep that 74 million from increasing and even shrink it a little bit, that would be a good thing.
Well, that's the point. Right. But that implies also that he can get his 81 million out. And to get the 81 million out is not just the independents. He's got to get the base out.
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing, though, about it is he wants to be seen as fighting for things. And, you know, we hear that repeatedly, that the Republicans say, oh, Trump's a fighter for what we stand for. He fights for us. And they say the Democrats aren't fighters for things. And, you know, Biden's out there trying to change that image. He's in a speech in Wilkes-Barre, he tried to change the image about defund the police. He kept saying, we're not going to defund the police. He kept saying, we're not going to defund the FBI. So he's out there, you know, trying to give a stronger, that's the word you hear, strong, besides fighting. And remember, Ruth Ben-Ghiat's book is titled Strong Men. There's that appeal to strength. Whether Bill Clinton used to call it strong but wrong on the Republican side, but it still has that appeal. So I think that that's one place that he's going is trying to show strength, and he's fighting. By the way, the ad that Matt Cartwright has out now with the veteran talks about Matt fighting for the veterans' rights. I think it's a very effective ad, and he's going to need all the help he can get, because he's a big target. Bogdanets up with a negative ad, calling him unethical and whatever on that, and we don't know how much money is going to be put into Pennsylvania. We, It looks like the Republicans are going to put a big chunk of change into this this one congressional race, and also I think the one down in the Allentown area, where they smell that they might be able to turn over a seat, Susan Wild's seat. By the way, I don't know if you saw on a national scale that Sheldon Adelson's widow ain't given the big bucks like he used to give.
Is that true? Really?
Yes. Yeah, she's cut back significantly. And the Republicans are worried. They're trying to figure it out. They've also, you and I had talked earlier in the week about this feud that's going on between Mitch McConnell and Peter Thiel.
Right.
Over the funding of the races in Arizona, Senate races in Arizona and Ohio, where McConnell wants Thiel to put up more money, and Thiel says, I put it up basically for the primary. And McConnell, I guess, is putting a whole lot of his bucks into Ohio.
He's putting $28 million into Ohio.
Yeah, you know, Vance is not really running a great campaign, but for $28 million, you could do a lot of damage.
You don't got to do very much. $28 million, somebody will do it for you.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. These are strange things that are happening that we hardly see. You know, I mean, Oz is running a very weird and poor campaign. And, you know, there was articles about Mastriano, the type of campaign that he's running against Shapiro, where he's got his own advisors. He's only going to his own type of events. He's not doing outside press. He's not doing any of this stuff. He's doing what I think Trump tried to do back there. Just bring out 150% of whatever base he has.
Right.
And the question is whether there's enough of them there, because he's going to bring out a very high percentage of his base.
Right.
And he's doing these other things, like he's just sued the commission, the January 6th commission, over the fact that they subpoenaed him, doing anything not to have to try to answer questions and also to like I said, gin up his base on things.
Well, so, it strikes me that the Democrats have to do the same. They've got to figure out a way to gin up the base. Because, yeah. I mean, you have a situation in this country where between Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, and any other billionaire you choose, throw it into the lot. Those three have as much wealth as 160 million other Americans. Now, in a situation like that, you've got to do something for people, and people have to know that you're doing it. And I look at it, it's not just Biden's responsibility to do that. The Democrats across the board have to think like that and do that. And if the Democratic Party in other places is like the Democratic Party in my county, the Democratic Party in my county doesn't stand for anything, nothing. They have no program. They have no platform. They have no demands that they make, not on the federal level, not on a local level. I can't imagine that they do in Lackawanna County, or in Luzerne County, or in any county, because there's really no mechanism within the Democratic Party, aside from the National Convention, for establishing policy. And even when the National Convention establishes a policy, adopts a platform, nobody in the Democratic Party is bound to it. But if the Democrats don't stand for something, why will people vote for them?
Well, it's like a lot of other things. They've become just individual personalities.
Exactly, but that's not good enough.
Well,
I mean, if Biden is saying the country's at the brink, democracy is going to be wiped out. Now, he's talking about democracy as a process. But what about democracy as content? What about policies that benefit the majority of the people?
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. And but there are things out there, you know.
There may be, but they gotta message them. They've got to stand for them. They've got to fight for them.
And we've talked about this, you know. Jim Bognet's out there trying to link attacking Matt Crowder, saying he votes 100% with Biden. And I think,
what's wrong with that?
I keep saying, Crowder had to come out and said, "Yeah, I voted with Biden to have Medicare negotiate lower prices for drugs."
Precisely.
Why aren't you for that?
Precisely.
No, Medicare, you know, that's substance. That we're going to bring jobs back with to America with the chip industry. Why are you against that? We're giving veterans who have been made ill, or their families, the ones who died, pay them for what the diseases that we caused. Why are you against the veterans? You got to throw it right back in his face.
Precisely.
You know, the Democratic policies are, by and large, supported by vast majorities. The gun safety bill, large majorities want it. Abortion's a little trickier in Lackawanna and Luzerne County, but most people don't want the very stringent laws that the Republicans have been going on all over the country. By the way,
what everybody's going to confront next year is laws that say that since life begins at conception, abortion is murder. You're going to have fetal personhood.
Yeah.
That means if you miscarry, if you're a woman who miscarries, you're going to have to demonstrate you're guilty until you can prove that you didn't abort your fetus.
Well, there's a couple things on that in Pennsylvania. First of all, if you have a Democratic governor, that doesn't happen.
But it depends on who wins the Congress.
Yeah. But you have a Democratic president who's going to veto that bill, too. But it's very tenuous.
It won't happen next year. It'll happen in 2 years. The point is, you've got to fight it.
Well, that's, you know, remember Falk's rule? Number one is think long term.
Yeah.
The Republicans took 40 years to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Exactly. Right.
They'll keep coming at it and coming at it and coming at it until they hit certain things. So we have, but, you know, you talk about a Republican or a Democratic Party doing nothing. You probably saw the article that the Democrats were planning to have a counter demonstration for Trump in Luzerne County, and then they called it off. They said, "We're afraid for security purposes." You know, you can't give in to this politically.
I couldn't understand that at all. I just can't understand it today as we're talking. Doesn't the governor control the state police? Couldn't he order 50, 100 state troopers to make sure that nobody attacked the Democratic Party demonstrators? And if the thugs who work for MAGA then attacked the state troopers, wouldn't that expose them even more? I mean, why call it off? I can't understand that.
You get in their face. You show them you're not afraid.
Exactly.
That only emboldens them.
That's right. That's right. These are swaggering thugs as it is. Why do you let them get away with anything?
You know, the MAGA forces have already been out there in Luzerne County. I was there twice this week. My children were there once, and they've taken pictures of all these big flag arrays and things like that, and people setting up tents already, way before the arrival of Donald Trump. It's a whole...
And what happens then is that Democrats and Democratic-minded independents become afraid. They get demoralized. They get to be afraid. They may or may not vote. They may not vote because they're afraid even to vote. They're certainly afraid to demonstrate their strength. And if they demonstrated their strength, even in the places where the Republicans are overwhelmingly strong, a third of the people are not Republican. A third of the people can, if they're out there, if they're unafraid, if they are, you know, unashamed to display who they are, they'll attract another 5-10%. That's the way it works.
Yeah. You know, I saw this week where the January 6th committee wants to interview Newt Gingrich. Apparently they found out that he was behind a lot of ads that appeared after the election to stir up anger prior to the insurrection there.
That's Newt Gingrich's whole life.
The politics of destruction.
Yeah.
And anger is this highly motivating force. We found that out with Facebook, you know, their algorithms and things like that, they exacerbated the situation because they know that this thing gets people's attention. I mentioned the line with Lindsey Graham practically telling people that if they riot, we're not going to be upset by that. But Donald Trump threw gasoline on the fire this week, gave an interview, and he said that he thinks that the insurrectionists who have been convicted, have taken pleas, have been badly treated, wrongly treated, and that if he's reelected, he would seriously consider pardoning them. I mean,
well, of course he'll pardon them. They're his people.
This is fascism.
Yeah.
And when Biden uses the term, people get upset. But at some point, you got to call what it is.
Upset? Only the fascists get upset.
Yeah, they get upset because, yeah, you would think that, you know, at some point, I got to tell you, at some point, they're going to wear this label.
They will.
They're going to turn around and not be upset by it.
That's
they're
right.
They're going to say, we are who we are.
That's right. And if that's, that, when that happens, you'll be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. There was a political cartoon in the Scranton Times a couple weeks ago. My wife actually cut it out, and it had Richard Nixon sitting next to Donald Trump, and Nixon is saying, "I am not a crook," and Donald Trump saying, "I am a crook. So what?"
Right, exactly.
And that's the attitude.
That's the attitude. And let's not forget, fascism is not a word. It's just that means nothing. Fascism means genocide. Fascism means totalitarianism.
What it leads to.
Yeah. That's what they practice.
And it certainly isn't patriotic, but that's one of the things that Biden's theme was. These folks are not patriotic. They claim to be, but they're just the opposite of it. Again, another theme.
Biden went wrong when he said America, political violence is not American. We can never have political violence. A, the country was born in political violence. The second constitution was written in the Civil War. That was political violence. Every single advance that was made.
Jim Crow.
Yeah. Every advance that was made involved the violent resistance by the people who had to be overcome. Whether it was mine owners in Pennsylvania or plantation owners in the South, you name it. They mobilized their violent forces to violently suppress people who were struggling for their rights, and those people fought back. They always fought back. You know, in Philadelphia, the striking streetcar workers in the late part of the 19th century rebelled and took over the city of Philadelphia for 3 days.
Well,
it's just not true that political violence is not the American way, nor is it true that political violence isn't justified. Well, if you got the wrong program, if you're fighting for the oppressors, you got to be defeated because you're on the wrong side. It's not violence per se that's the question. It's what it's for that's the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the streetcars were still a bone of contention in Philadelphia up through World War II.
Really?
That was a problem. And of course, you know, we had the miners, you had the...
Here in Northeast Pennsylvania, throughout the cult, I mean, you remember years ago, the movie Mate One was all about the violent insurrection in the coal fields.
The Molly Maguires.
And that was before, right.
And then, you know, we had the massacres out in western Pennsylvania with the miners and things like that. By the way, they're going to the Lackawanna Bar is having a presentation next week about the Theodore Roosevelt, the Anthracite Commission.
The one that Mother Bloor mobilized the kids for.
Yeah. These things are...
But the thing is, when Biden comes out and says something like that, he kind of disarms his own people. Because the other side They don't care. They don't listen to that. The Proud Boys, the rest of those guys, that's what they do.
They use everything to mobilize themselves in the GNR area.
Yeah.
I talked about Falk's rule number one. Falk's rule number three is controlling the communications, and the number one factor in that is repetition. So I'm looking to see if Biden continues and people in his administration continue to use the terms fascist or semi-fascist.
People have to use it, call it, and define it, say what it is.
Again and again and again and not back down. You know, right. we've talked a couple of times about the fact that at the beginning of the Obama administration, the report that was commissioned during the Bush administration came out about that the biggest threat to America was these white supremacists.
And the Republicans demanded that report be suppressed, right?
Right. And they backed off it. Yep. You know, Janet Napolitano backed off it. That was a big mistake.
That was a test. Right.
That was a test. She should have come right out and gotten right in their face and said, right. You know, you don't like it, change your ways.
Exactly. Don't like it, change your ways. Exactly right.
Otherwise, we're gonna tell you, we're gonna call you what you are.
Right. Precisely right. On that basis, you can mobilize people. If you don't own up to people, tell them the truth, make it clear, explain why the MAGAs are horrible for the country, horrible for the working people, horrible for every minority, horrible for every immigrant, horrible for the culture, horrible for science, horrible for education. If you don't do that, people will go along with them because they'll be taken in by we're strong, strong guy, strong guy.
Yeah, strong guy. You know, and it's going to be interesting come the fall whether or not we even have debates here in Pennsylvania. Mastriano doesn't want to debate.
He's not going to debate.
He's put out these silly conditions. Like, I'm not going to have a neutral. I want only people that will ask me the right questions.
I don't think these debates are terribly useful anyway. They're not really debates. They're just preening without really much substance coming across. I've seen dozens of them.
And you try not to make a gaffe.
Yeah. I don't see why, for example, Fetterman should debate Oz. Why should you give Oz a platform? Why Oz has got 20 years of experience lying. Why should you let him practice, you know, take what he's practiced and become an accomplished liar at and do it to you? Don't do it.
Yeah. Well, maybe Oz would have used one of the answers to try to sell one of his supplements. I don't know.
Well, who knows? Who knows? But why give him the opportunity?
Right. But, by the way, this week, Matt McGloin is going to come out and run for county commissioner. We'll see what that does. Lackawanna County, he's a Penn State star. I think he's a shoe-in unless something comes out of... but I noticed that Jim Bognut in his ads is wearing a Penn State sweatshirt playing on that. You know, people vote for... You know, they don't necessarily vote for issues. They see Penn State and they vote for it unless they went to Pitt, you know. then it's a different thing. So we'll have to see.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week. Things are going to happen. We have, after all, Labor Day is the beginning of the political season. Everybody agrees. So we're there.
And Labor's making advances, for gosh sakes.
Yes.
They unionized the first time. They Trader Joe's, Chipotle.
Yep.
They've got Starbucks on the ropes, Amazon. Lost its appeal.
There's 230 Starbucks stores that either have unions or have elections coming up.
Well,
230. A year and a half ago, there were none.
Progress sometimes is slow, but progress nonetheless.
Yeah. All right. We'll have a short week next week because we got the holiday, but things will happen anyway. So I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.